Welcome to Security Strategies in Government, sponsored by Anomaly on Federal News Network and 1500 AM. For today's show, we hear from Greg Wilshusen, Director of Information Security Issues at the Government Accountability Office. To open up the conversation, I asked Wilshusen about what cyber threat intelligence means to him and how the concept has evolved.
Cyber threat intelligence, at least in my mind, is that information which is useful in understanding the methods, the means, and resources of who the particular adversaries are, malicious actors that may be intent on intruding upon one's information systems, technology systems, for the purposes of performing some sort of malicious activity. But in my mind, it probably mostly relates to that, to the adversarial malicious actor. But of course, there's also other cyber threats to information systems, to include from insiders, if you will. So, you know, I guess it's both internal and external threats to systems. But also, you know, we have threats related to physical types of threats, and as well as supply chain threats and other aspects, which while may not necessarily be malicious in intent, can still have a debilitating effect on an organization's ability to operate and maintain their systems. But for the most part, I think the general use of the term relates to identifying, assessing, and evaluating the capabilities, the likelihood, the intent, and efforts of probably like malicious actors to intrude or create havoc for our systems.
Right. I think that was a pretty good way to open things up here, Greg. And in looking at this, it seems like there's kind of been some recent federal activity on this in my mind, I think. You know, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency has kind of been a big leader in this for obvious reasons. But just kind of looking where things are currently, you know, what do you see as some of the barriers to collaboration around cyber threat intelligence? Because I do think there are often a lot of players involved here,
sure,
both public and private.
Yeah, well, I think there are probably several barriers. One, of course, is just assuring and getting entities, particularly from the private sector, to provide intelligence information or information about particular incidents that may have occurred on their systems and reporting that to the federal government and usually, in this case, DHS. Because as you point out, CISA and I guess its component, the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center, NCIC, you know, have responsibilities for acting as that private sector federal government interface for sharing information. You know, that requirement or that authority is established, you know, by that, I think it was the National Cybersecurity Protection Act of 2014 and the Cybersecurity Act of 2015, which requires NCIC to perform these types of activities for collecting information relative to the cybersecurity-related information and for sharing that information with both federal and non-federal entities. And while federal agencies are required to report security incidents to the U.S. CERT or to NCIC and CISA, of course, private sector entities are not. And the ones that we're mostly concerned about are those private sector organizations that own and operate our nation's critical infrastructure. And so trying to assuring and providing that level of trust that private sector organizations likely need in order to report information on incidents to the NCIC and to CISA is critical. And there's a challenge in making sure that we get that information or that they provide that information to DHS. Several years ago, we conducted a survey in which we actually went out and surveyed a number of owners and operators of our nation's critical infrastructure and assets involved in that infrastructure. And one of the things that they came back and said to us was that their expectation of the federal government was that it would provide actionable, timely, and useful information on cyber threats and vulnerabilities to the organizations in order to help protect their systems. But they also said, and I think it was only 28% of the respondents indicated that the federal government was actually meeting that expectation, that it was providing actionable, timely, and useful information to those private sector organizations. Now, that was several years ago. More recently, we conducted another review and examination of NCIC for DHS, in which NCIC has developed three types of products products and services that help to support, you know, this cyber threat intelligence and information sharing regime that it is responsible for. And we found that the respondents to our survey from the private sector and other federal agencies, that they were more favorable than what we had previously identified. So they were much more favorably inclined and appreciated the products and services that DHS was offering in this respect. So at least there's been some progress going forward on the part of DHS in that. And that was a report that we issued, well, it's almost 3 years old now, back in February 2017. And in that report, we also identified some of the challenges that DHS had in terms of providing some of this useful information out to the private sector as well as to other federal government agencies. So that was, you know, and I guess getting back to the barriers, so one of the things is just making sure there's sufficient trust for private sector entities to report incidents and share information with the federal government. The other thing is, you know, that we found out is making sure that the federal government provides useful information to the private sector owners and operators of critical infrastructure, you know, specifically. And there have been some barriers associated with that as well. Part of it is, in some cases, some of these entities didn't have the security clearances in which to receive some of the information that the government had that could be shared if those entities had the appropriate security clearances. Another is just making sure that the information that is shared is appropriately anonymized so that identifying information about either the entity or if there's personally identifiable personal information or business proprietary information that might be included in it is appropriately deleted or masked in some way so as to protect the business proprietary information and sensitive information of the individuals or entities that are submitting information to DHS. So, you know, that's another potential challenge. And what we found more recently, and we issued a report back in last year, December 6, 2018, that talked about that federal agencies were generally adhering and met the legislative requirements for protecting personal and privacy information when sharing threat information.
And you, Greg, you really do identify a pretty good sense of just kind of the short timeline on this, that in the scope that we're talking here, 3-4 years, a lot has changed, and a lot has changed in, it seems, the right direction, that things are trending pretty well, things are seeming more or less on the right track from where you guys are standing. But I know you spoke a lot about this, and I don't know if you have any more thoughts on it, but you know, what recent trends have you seen appear in this cyber threat intelligence arena? You know, maybe particularly if you want to go into a little bit more detail on the security clearance piece of things, are things improving there? And then maybe if you want to take it a step further, where do you see these trends going in maybe the short-term future in the next couple
sure.
of years?
Well, you know, I think there have been a couple of very good trends. One is, I think, a further clarification of the roles and responsibilities of the federal government and the different entities within it for collecting and sharing information, not only across other federal agencies, but also, of course, with the private sector, including those owners and operators of the critical infrastructure. And that, I think, has helped. You know, it, CISA, and I still refer CISA often to as NCIC and DHS, but, you know, that, you know, a lot of the responsibility for interacting with the private sector is through that organization when it comes to cyber threat analysis and sharing. And so also establishing the relationships between the intelligence community and DHS, we have also noted that there have been improved communications and coordination between those two entities and help provide the type of information that could be useful to other recipients of DHS's services and products that they provide. So that's one area in terms of the improved roles and responsibilities, and I believe also the coordination between the federal agencies, particularly in collecting, analyzing, and having the means then to disseminate cyber threat intelligence. Another trend is and where agencies are, particularly DHS and others, is trying to make this a faster effort. You know, one of the problems in the past is that often the information that maybe DHS might have provided out to entities through technical alerts and everything was not necessarily very timely. You know, where other private sector organizations may have already heard about and addressed some of the vulnerabilities and the threats based upon information from some of the security contractors and providers out there. But one of the things that DHS is attempting to do, and at the time we looked at it, was still pretty much in the early stages of automating much of this information through the automated information management system and being able to provide that type of timely technical assistance through automated means could make that much more timely and potentially useful to at least the federal agencies with whom it shares that information. Also, another benefit, and I guess associated with that, is also through, at least again with the federal agencies and the share information sharing, is through like Einstein and some of the intrusion detection and prevention capabilities that DHS has implemented and deploying across the federal government also helps to be able to update the types of threats that it may be through Einstein to examine as network traffic as it's coming into federal agencies and being able to screen for those types of threats. And so that, I think, is another probably a benefit where the federal government is going is trying to automate much of this information in order to make it more timely and useful.
Right. Yeah, I think that segues pretty nicely into my next question. You know, when we talk about automation, it's off, especially when we talk about automation in the federal government, it's often kind of said in the context of, you know, we automate this work stream and then that frees up the human employees to do higher order tasks. With that framework in mind, you know, in automating some of this work, in looking at Einstein and tools like that, you know, what kind of higher order tasks does that leave for the intelligence analysts out there? You know, what does that leave them to do that they can focus more of their time on?
Well, I guess it is one of the benefits of the tools that are in place. It may allow them to analyze vast stores of information, and that's, I guess, kind of going into like artificial intelligence and machine learning a bit, where you have these advanced algorithms that can help, you know, these cybersecurity professionals in a variety of ways, actually. You know, and these systems, for example, I guess the key benefit is that it helps to reduce the time and effort it takes to perform, you know, these different tasks to include, for example, like identifying vulnerabilities or patching vulnerabilities, even detecting attacks and defending against active attacks. And so, you know, I think the automation of that and being able to use machine learning to an extent and using these advanced algorithms can help cybersecurity professionals in those types of manner. For example, and perhaps using like autonomous exploit detection and repair, where these capabilities could identify, you know, continually scan and look at the various types of traffic that are entering and exiting agency systems, and based on that, be able to identify, see if they can find and patch system vulnerabilities without human intervention. And so I think that's another one of those benefits that could be realized through, you know, the increasing automation of some of the cybersecurity activities. You know, one of the problems that cybersecurity professionals have had and what we've identified during our audits is, well, one, you know, in terms of their auditing and monitoring capability, there are often wide gaps in the implementation of their wide gaps in their capability to view their entire network and the activity that's actually occurring on their network. And the information that they do collect, you know, is still often very voluminous, where they just don't have the time or the expertise to actually look at that type of system activity and the audit logs or system logs, even with some tools, with, you know, on a proactive basis. Usually they're only looking at that when something bad has happened, an incident has occurred, some sort of or has been detected, and then they go back and look to do a postmortem or investigation of it, rather than having the tools to actively proactively look at the system data that's being that can be available to see if there are anomalous activity that's occurring that could be detected through that type of a review.
In the context of this conversation, we've been talking a lot about DHS in general, kind of keeping an eye on critical systems in the private sector. Maybe kind of flipping the script around a little bit, the emergence of bug bounties at agencies, and now this update, this recent memo from OMB and CISA about vulnerability disclosure programs at agencies. How do you see those policies impacting this field of cyber threat intelligence?
I think it probably has a very positive, or can have a very positive effect. I haven't reviewed it yet, or my group hasn't reviewed, you know, the use of bug bounties specifically. But what I've read about them is that they have been very successful. I think DOD has used it several times, and they seem to find great value in that. And so having groups go out and, you know, basically try to attack your system, you know, in a controlled manner, I guess, and try to identify the vulnerabilities using the techniques that our adversaries would, certainly can be have a very positive impact on being able to identify security deficiencies and vulnerabilities within our systems, which can then be corrected. And it, so I think, you know, there's probably great value that could be realized from these types of bug bounty programs. And again, as I mentioned, we haven't reviewed it yet, but just, you know, the concept of them, and from what I read about some of the experiences of agencies that have performed them, they often find useful information that can be that can help to improve the security over their systems.
That was Greg Wilshusen, Director of Information Security Issues at the Government Accountability Office. This has been Security Strategies in Government, sponsored by Anomaly. I'm Jory Heckman.